Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze and interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. This is Ange, and we're bringing you back another really awesome interview from Sundance. But before that, I want you to remember to go to bitchtalkpodcast.com. And from 6 to 6:30 a.m. every Monday, you can find us at bff.fm. So this was a last-minute interview that came to us pretty much the day before. And so I had to rush, watch this film. And the reason why I was really excited, not only for the storyline, was because I would be interviewing Amy Ryan, who is an incredible actress. You've seen her in everything, but most notably for me, in The Office, she plays Holly. And she's one of my favorite characters in that show. But yeah, this is a really heavy film. It's based on a true story about a mother who's trying to find her missing daughter. And it turns out that her daughter has been part of the sex industry, the underground sex industry, and the police won't help her, so she decides to take matters into her own hands. And like I said, this is based on a true story, and this is an unsolved mystery to this day. So I think it's a really important topic to put out there to have us realize that this is happening still to this day. And it was a real pleasure to interview the star, Amy Ryan, and director, Liz Garbus. So enjoy.
I'm your host, John Wildman, here with my Bitch Talk teammate, Angela Tabora. And on this segment, we're going to be talking about Lost Girls. In the premiere section of Sundance, we have our director, Liz Garbus, and the great Amy Ryan with us as well. It's great to have both of you here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Liz, we always start these segments off by having our director introduce the audience to the film. So you lead us off.
Well, a Bitch Talk is an apt place for us to talk
we thought
about.
Welcome home.
Because we got some mean bitches in this film.
Yes. Oh, man. Thank you.
Some badass bitches.
We've got a good tribe.
The Lost Girls tells the story of a mother, Mary Gilbert, whose daughter goes missing. And the mother tries to get the authorities to help look for her daughter. And when she encounters resistance, she pushes back. And what she ends up uncovering is a conspiracy where at least 10 sex workers were murdered and their cases never looked into or investigated. So Amy's character, Mary Gilbert, won't take their resistance and their lack of action for an answer, and she kind of creates a movement. So yeah, she's a bad bitch.
But you know, and I mean, this is based on a true story. And anytime you do that, there are responsibilities and there are things kind of on your shoulders, both as the director doing this and as the actor portraying someone. So I'd love for both of you to talk about that. And Amy, let's start with you. You know, the responsibility of playing someone who actually exists, a living person.
Oh my gosh, yeah. When I remember the story in the news, and then when the script came along and I read the script and I was meeting Liz and quickly looking stuff online, I learned Mary had been killed. And when Liz and I met for coffee and she kept saying, well, she said this and she said that. And I said, I'm sorry, who are you talking to? And she said, oh, Mary, she helped us in the early days as we were developing the script. And I mean, there's already an enormous weight. And you want to get someone's life right, or you want to shine the light on something, especially a story like this where there's so much injustice. But because there hasn't been justice yet for these families, I felt that weight, and I felt that hope that maybe viewers will see this film and keep clicking on other stuff online and wanting answers, and that this world would grow back out, and maybe justice would be served for these family, but I felt the weight of their story.
Yeah, and then the second part of this is from the filmmaker's standpoint. Again, this is something that happened, and so you can't create a dramatic arc with an ending that would be satisfying just because dramatically it'd be satisfying. It happened or it didn't.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. yet you have to take us along for that ride.
Sure, yeah. So it's a challenge. I mean, look, it would be nice if the movie ended with them catching the killer or with Amy's daughter being alive. You know, neither of those things happened. So what we had to do was look for a narrative in the truth of the characters in terms of their own personal journeys. And Amy's character, Mary, was a woman who was a survivor and had to make a lot of hard choices in her life in terms of giving up children, and was so angry at herself. There was so much internalized anger and guilt. And so her, the journey in the film is a journey of her forgiving herself and embracing the children who were there, who were not missing, and them finding mm-hmm. each other. And so we're able to craft a narrative out of the emotional truths and journeys in the film. The kind of neat button of the whodunit with the killer at the end, that was not available to us.
Yeah, I think that is a really important part of this story, because obviously we're angry with the police. You know, we want them to put in more work. But I think, Amy, coming to terms with your character and her flaws as well, you know, as she learns more about her daughter and, you know, maybe I could have done this, maybe I could have done this to help. I think that was an important part of it, because, you know, we're all part of this system and we have to realize our role in it.
That's right. I mean, I have a 10-year-old daughter. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I'm like, oh, why did I do that? I remember being like, oh, I really messed that one up. And, you know, and then like reflecting back on the, you know, my own mother, like, oh, I should have been nicer to her. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that's the lesson.
Yeah. Like, oh, I see what she meant. Yeah. But, you know, so, but yes, it's I don't know that what I love about Mary is knowing all that, and she still puts herself out there, and she's someone who in the beginning she's quite resistant to anybody else's world, you know, coming in, and but even through this extreme, just horrific grief, she's able to literally find her tribe, mm-hmm. and they become quite powerful.
Did you get to speak with any of those mothers or daughters or in real life from this group of women?
Yeah, I mean, all the actors had, you know, a large amount of amazing documentary material and archival material. And I was in touch with Mary before she passed. And we recently had an opportunity to show the families the film. Wow. The different survivors from the families, which was a really incredible experience, pretty heavy. One thing that Amy found, which I think, you know, speaks to sort of the character that she was just talking about, was you remember when you found that podcast, The Mothers of the Movement?
Oh, gosh.
And it was mothers who were supporting each other. They had lost children to gun violence.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the salve, like the strength and the real joy that community brings, mm-hmm. even out of trauma, like the phoenix from the flames. That's the kind of power we were looking for. And their voices were so powerful, I think.
Oh,
we
my
both
God.
Learned
yeah,
a lot
still
from
get,
them.
Yeah, yeah, still get goosebumps there thinking of them.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to talk about, Amy, you're working with Gabriel Byrne in the film. Because this is one of those things when, you know, as a film fan, we watch this and we have someone like yourself with someone like him, and we go, oh, this is why we watch movies.
Oh, thank you.
You know, but talk about that from your working perspective on the set. You know, those scenes that you had with Gabriel.
Yeah, Gabriel's an old friend, and we worked together before on In Treatment, the HBO series. So I'm very comfortable around that man, and I adore him. And he's really curious. He's really bright. We did a lot of rehearsal work and we're kind of digging up every line. Like, you know, it's slow work, but it pays off. And so, you know, there's just a freedom that flows of trust there. And I know when Liz told me she was, had offered Gabriel the role. I was like, can I email him? Can I tell him he's got to do it? Like, how? Like, I don't want to mess this up. But I was so glad he joined. He's incredible in the film.
And Liz, from your perspective, you know, as a director, having these two to work with, because especially, like, Amy brings an intrinsic power to the stuff that she does, but Gabriel is very sly.
He
gets things in.
Sure.
So talk about that.
Working with them was horrible.
All right, next question.
I mean, they're such professionals.
Bitch talk.
They're like,
this is bitch talk.
You know, working with them is a dream. I mean, it's just like Amy doesn't give you any bad takes. Gabriel really doesn't either. They were also so receptive to notes and feedback. I don't think that was your question. What was your question?
about directing those two.
Yeah.
Especially in those face-off kind of scenes, because there are a few of them.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful that Amy and Gabriel knew each other and they had that kind of chemistry and trust. I mean, it really gives you a shorthand. You kind of jump over some hurdles that you'd probably have to work out in the first few scenes. But yeah, they were wonderful. And what Gabriel did was he infused such humanity and complexity into a role that, you know, in some ways, we don't really know Commissioner Dormer. Like, he presided over this case. This case was not well handled. I don't have any thought that he was in any way responsible for anything, but he is responsible in some ways for the lack of justice. But Gabriel still infused that role with humanity, and each character here has that sense of depth. So, you know, in addition to Amy, it was just really quite a dream team.
Well, and to piggyback off that, the young women that play your daughters,
oh my God,
they are so, I mean, to hold their own in a scene with you and really be pulling at the emotional heartstrings, like, how was it? Did you take them under your wing?
I saw Una and Matilda. I was holding, you know, I was trying to keep up with her, and of course, the incredible Thomas and Mackenzie. I mean, I started young, but I mean, I was 18 when I started acting, but I was like, but oh my God, like what they... I'm still trying to figure things out, but I was like, but what they figured out already, they just have just such nuance and a maturity, and they're interesting and they're kind, and I mean, I can go on and on about those two, but they're just stunning actresses.
Yeah, we talk about, like, you know, when you're acting, like, underplaying things, and there's a thing where it was so wonderfully done, so wonderfully nuanced, what you're able to get out of those two. Within that realm, that is very impressive. We're going to wrap up the segment, but I want to wrap it up this way, because I think there's talk about a project that it took a while to get it, to actually get it to the screen. And you know, as film fans and consumers, we go, well, they wanted to make the movie, and then they made the movie.
Right? Yeah, is that how it works?
Right?
Is that another idea? I'll make it next week.
Not how it works. No. And so give a little bit of insight into that, and because it really kind of you could make a parallel to the movie we're talking about as far as the struggle to actually get to this point.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. I mean, The Promised Land was Netflix. I mean, we had been working on this film for some time. It had been in some different studios, and when we brought it to Netflix, actually, it was just everything came together, and we were able to make the movie. But no, there's a lot that happens before that. I mean, there's a lot of drafts of the script. There's a lot of conversations. I mean, really, the main challenge is there's not a male lead in this movie. If you didn't notice, I mean, Gabriel is a movie star, but he's not the lead in this movie, and that's a challenge in getting a film financed. But Netflix, because it's a different kind of studio, was able for us, you know, to make the film, and that was, you know, that's incredible. They put their money where their mouth is.
Wonderful that it happened. Again, the film is Lost Girls in the premiere section of Sundance. We've been talking to Liz Garbus and Amy Ryan. It's been great to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you so much. So that was my interview with Liz Garbus and Amy Ryan of the film Lost Girls, and they were really feeling the Bitch Talk brand. They were like, speaking of bad bitches, they were all about it, because that's what this film is about. It's about searching for these women who have been missing and murdered, and the mothers who came out to pick up after the slack when the police wouldn't help them. So
yeah, it's on the list because there's time to watch all of the things that are out right now. But yeah, it's on Netflix, and I can't wait to watch it. And I love Amy Ryan too.
She's amazing. She's so beautiful.
Holly Flax.
Yeah, I know.
I can't help it. I just think of The Office.
And she's really petite and sweet and just super humble.
Yeah. There was a picture that someone snapped. It probably was Char, maybe, or Shoshana, when it made Amy Ryan laugh really hard.
Oh, I don't even remember.
I haven't seen it somewhere.
Okay, maybe it's in our...
I think
it's our shared
It's
Google.
Somewhere, oh, yeah.
Everything from Sundance is a blur. So, like, when you said, like right before we started rolling tape for these intros and outros, you said, Char was in the room on Dirty That One. I was like, dude, I don't even know. I don't know who's...
I hope you're in the room, because someone heard the only... You're the only audio producer.
But no, like when you said that they made the comment about being bad bitches, I was like, oh, okay, it was that one. Compared to, like, you know, we did 70 of these. And
a lot of people did comment on, but specifically because of this topic, They were really excited to see the Bitch Talk logo.
Right. So, but yeah, and that's the thing is, like, what's cool about Sundance too is that there's people that are, you know, quote unquote famous or pop, you know, like, you know, known outside of the indie world, right? It, you don't really realize it until later. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, like I said, like, sometimes I look at the call sheet and I'll be like, oh, Leah Thompson's going to be in here in like 5 minutes. And I had no, like, had
I
no
agree.
Idea.
Yeah.
You know? Or, you know, like, or so there's some people that are big in other places or big in little, like, little cult themes.
Yeah.
You know, like, kind of like The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't realize, and then you're just like, oh.
Right.
Like, for instance, when, what's his name?
Althea Greyjoy.
Yes.
The evil great. What's the brother?
Not
Sion. He's the uncle.
Yeah, but when.
Oh, I freaked out.
When he came in from Game of Thrones, but then I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Like, but then it's. And then there were other people that are like, oh, I didn't know that he was in Game of Thrones. But then you're just like, oh, you're like kind of like in the presence of like really cool and talented people, but it's. I mean, like, obviously, all the way across, but then there's, you know, like, there's some names bigger than others that you don't really, like, it's just so unassuming,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool about it.
Right.
Which is kind of fun about Sundance, because you're just kind of walking around. And
you
sometimes,
have no idea
well,
who
and,
you will see.
Well, and the thing is, everybody's wearing snow gear, so it's
right.
not like you see someone in this beautiful gown, and you're like, oh, there's someone special. Like, we're all wearing beanies
well, we were
and
at
jackets.
We were at the McMillions. room, and we ran into the dude from
I know
Booksmart.
I wasn't there.
His hair was different though, but I was like, oh shit, I love that kid. And now I'm looking for the guy's name from Game of Thrones. I'm sorry.
Euron Greyjoy.
Yes.
It was Euron.
I
well,
know,
that's
but
not
what's
his
real
name?
Oh, Aspec.
It's hard to pronounce.
It starts with a P. Anyways,
yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, listeners.
It was hard to pronounce. I had to practice.
It's something Aspec.
It was just funny when he walked in and I looked right at Ange.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I knew that I was going to be interviewing him at some point, but their interview was thrown into the middle of our morning. So when that happens, you're
right.
just kind of shuffling from one to the next. So I didn't realize that it was next until I saw who walked in. And right when I looked at him, I looked at Aaron and we were like, boy, oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
shit.
And then later on, you guys kept talking about it, and I had to like secretly Google on my phone.
Yeah, because you have
phone,
no idea.
Because I had to pretend like I know what I was talking about.
He was real goofy too.
Oh, sorry. The kid from Booksmart that I called out was Jared. He played Jared, and his name's Skylar Gizondo? Gizondo? Probably Gizondo. Yeah. But his hair was different, but he was super cute. He did shake my hand, though. Now I'm rethinking. Sorry, if you didn't listen to our Basic Bitch with W. Kamau Bell. We were talking about a couple episodes ago. We were talking about handshaking.
The
now,
handshake
like,
has been canceled.
Maybe we just won't do that anymore.
There's no need.
I also
Come
like
on.
To hug. Maybe I can't do. I just can't do that anymore.
No, I miss hugs.
I know.
To be honest,
but
I can't wait to start hugging again.
But the Japanese really have it down. You just bow.
I'm not just gonna hug anyone, but the people
I
that I normally hug, I'm gonna
like
hug.
We have a connection with. We can't help it.
Mm-hmm. No, I need hugs. Consider me a
okay.
stuffed animal.
Anyways, yeah. Handshakes are canceled.
Mm-hmm.
We just went down the rabbit hole of Sundance, meeting people.
Pilu Aspec.
Pilu. Good old Pilu.
Yeah. Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Liz Garbus and the great Amy Ryan. Don't forget to check us out on bishtalkpodcast.com and from 6 to 6:30 a.m. at bff.fm on your Monday morning commutes.
We're powered by GoTo Productions.
Bitch, please.